Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living. We are a place where real courage is what we celebrate. Real courage is all about who we are. For we know that such is the nature of life, that all it asks, all it wants, is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity. And so am I. So it is. That idea is something we'll be talking a lot more about today. Life itself. But meanwhile, let me tell you that we are a center of a community of people who are dedicated to this idea of discovering what it truly means to live in one power, one energy, one life, and to live it well, to live it fully and freely, to live in a world that does not have opposing power, but simply one power. All apparent opposition is a mistake, an illusion, a misconception, no matter how real it is showing up in experience. And we are a place where you, because of who you are, which is a human being, you are honored and you are welcome. And we see you as the valuable contribution to life that you really are. Life has chosen to show up as you. And therefore, we celebrate you, whoever you are, whatever your belief system, whatever your ethnicity or sexuality or any of those labels, your gender reality, any of those labels that we have for ourselves that help us define who we are in time and space and in the world. We honor all of those. We honor you because we believe in you as we believe in life itself. We also believe in a set of principles that we teach that were brought forward by our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes. And we teach these in many different ways and shapes and forms. But today, just as a beginning on that, I'd like to give you an opportunity to read them with me, to read a portion of what he wrote as our Declaration of Principles. So here's what they are. I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. Each week we have an opportunity for one of our practitioners to share with you. A practitioner is someone who is well-trained in this teaching, who has taken the classes, who's done the study, and who's demonstrated to themselves and us that they are capable of using thought, changing their minds, changing their consciousness to change their lives. They're also quite capable of doing that for other people. This morning, I'm very pleased to introduce one of our practitioners who has been working with us, who's been part of this for quite a while. We call her a guest practitioner, but she's really part of us. And she's going to share a story and a prayer with you. So I'll give you Norma Roberts. Thank you, Norma.
Good morning to all of you, and thank you for being here today. You know, when I reflect on my earlier concept of God, I think of how I look to the sky to see God. Or my prayers were not answered unless I was on my knees. My God was also judgmental. If I wasn't good or good enough, I was to go to hell. But I never understood what good enough really looked like. I was a member of the Baptist Church because this was the church my family attended. However, I also enjoyed the service because it was a teaching ministry instead of a preaching ministry. When I became an adult, was married, and had children, I began to look at religion differently. Early in my marriage, I really needed help. I didn't have that fairy tale marriage where they lived happily ever after. I prayed, but it seemed that my prayers were not answered. I found contradictions all around me in religion. I sought out different Baptist churches, but I was unable to tolerate the yelling that was called preaching. And there was a continuous reference to hell. It seemed I was already in hell. I studied with the Jehovah Witness for a year, but ended up more stressed about religion than I had ever been before. I returned to the original Baptist church and decided to be in control of my own life and not to allow my experiences to govern my life. One day I was visiting a friend who was a beautician, had set up a salon on the back porch of her home. As I walked through her dining room, I saw a booklet on the table and began reading it. I asked if I could borrow that booklet, but nobody knew anything about that publication. It turned out to be a daily word from Unity. I devoured every word in that booklet. Its discovery seemed like a miracle. I subscribed to the magazine and tried practicing all the principles I could understand. I began to feel that things would work out somehow. I was introduced to a group of people who were meeting in different members' homes and talking about science of the mind. We practiced guided meditations and visualizations, and I could actually see that things were changing. We, as a group, soon began attending a religious science church in Clearwater. I took every class offered. The daily guide for April 28th, 2021, this past month, summarizes my thoughts. It says, "Today I realize I've been born again and again. Each birth made me a little wiser. Each rebirth has been an evolution of spirit, mind, and body. Over the years, I've been more than willing to see where the evolution would take me. It has taken me to a beautiful place in life, a place of peace, love, and joy, unlike anything I ever thought possible. Because I was willing, I have been carried by spirit, guided and directed and loved unconditionally. Each rebirth brought me closer to dissolving all the shame, blame, fears and doubts I harbored in mind for a lifetime. All that was never real to begin with, just a story I made up in my confusion to make sense of my world. I would have called myself a victim in the early part of my life, but I no longer see it that way. All events brought me to this precious moment, the preciousness of this moment. And now, if you just join me for the treatment of the day, just relax and know with me, there is but one life. That life is God, and that life is my life right now. In God's presence, I'm filled with the wonder of life, and I experience healing on every level, mental, emotional, physical, as well as financial. I face challenges with confidence, knowing I am never alone. I choose to change my thinking and my ways of life to something newer and better. And I design my life from the inside out. This day, I move into a bright new world, which is a reflection of my innermost thoughts and beliefs. I consciously and deliberately align myself with the Supreme Consciousness. It always moves in right action. Therefore, my affairs this day partake of that all-inclusive principle of right action. The activity of spirit in me removes anything unlike itself. Therefore, there are no barriers to my health, wealth, or love. Any old patterns of unworthiness are inadequacy are now healed. My living takes on new dimensions because I am an integral part of the goodness, truth, and beauty of God. The knower within me guides me in all decisions. The law draws to me those persons, places, and things that tend towards my benefit. Today, I am guided by divine wisdom in all that I think, say, and do, as I recognize God's power in all my affairs. I believe in, accept, and expect perfect health in every fiber of my physical body. I expect abundant financial wealth flowing through expected as well as unexpected channels, filling my hands with much to spare, share, and enjoy. I expect loving relationships and expanded creative self-expression, meeting my every desire. I am prepared for the wonderful, and I now demonstrate the beautiful found in the unknown. Something healthy, happy, and wonderful is happening to me, through me, and as me, expanding out to everyone I contact. I accept it, receive it, and learn from it, allowing it to better my life day by day. It is with great thanks that I release this word into the law of mind that only knows to say yes, as I await its swift manifestation. As together we say, and so it is. Thank you.
What if a prayer is not a plea? A desperate call with tears that fall on bended knee. But breathing out and breathing in,
breathing in,
it's God in me that lives and breathes, my trusted friend. My life is a prayer that God is praying. My thoughts are words that God is saying. My laughter is the sound of angels playing. My life is a prayer that God is praying. What if today I had the chance to move and sway? God leads the way in my life's dance. What if I knew without a doubt,
without a doubt,
no need to fear, God's right here within, without. My life is a prayer that God is praying. My thoughts are words that God is saying. My laughter is the sound of angels playing. My life is a prayer that God is praying. Oh,
My life is a prayer that God is praying. My thoughts are words that God is saying. My laughter is the sound of angels playing. My life is a prayer that God is praying. My life is a prayer that God is praying. My life is a
Breathe that in for a minute. It's a beautiful thought. My life is a prayer that God is praying. My life is a prayer that life is praying. We begin each service each week with the phrase that I learned from my teacher, Kennedy Schultz, such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. In our teaching, we talk a lot about God in many different words and languages. We talk about God as love. We talk about God as infinite intelligence. We talk about God in many ways. We sometimes even talk about God as God. It's kind of cool. When you put that in place, when you think about that, such is the nature of life that all it wants is to appear. And then you think, wait, such is God's nature that all it wants is the opportunity to appear into shape and form, into experience and thought and life and feeling and meaning. Then it is, and I am alive. I have life. So God must be working through me, moving through me. My life must be the prayer. My words must, or my thoughts must be God's thoughts, because it is showing up in all of creation as itself and nothing else. There's nothing else to add to creation other than God itself. We are created out of it. It happens to us and through us. So the gift of life is already given. Be talking a little more about that next week, but right now, because Mother's Day is a time when we celebrate the gift that life is, and it's already been given, and regardless of anything else you may feel about what's going on or gone on, the full gift of life, of God itself moving through you, has been given. You don't have to wait for it. The evolution of consciousness over time and through the various religious expressions continually grows toward and leads toward that idea. So people say, so what is the purpose of life? And we say, to live. What is the meaning of life? I used to ask that question anytime someone said, for more information, or if you have further questions, ask. I always do that. And I was a smart aleck. Kind of still am. So what is the meaning of life? It's to experience being alive. Joseph Campbell said that the people are asking the wrong question. The question is so often asked, what is the meaning of life? Whereas the real question is, what does it mean to be alive? Because that's the meaning people are looking for, not a meaning we can assign to it and say, okay, it means this, or it means that, or it means you're pickle, or you're green, or you're blue, or you're some other thing. But it means that you are looking to feel the meaning of life, to feel the meaning of being alive. Many people, too many people in our world today, start out their life or have memories of the experiences of life of being very painful, very hurtful, having gone through difficulties when they were too small or too young to protect themselves, perhaps. So that life becomes not a place to be welcomed into and enjoy and celebrate, but something to guard and to fear and to be careful of. And when that's going on, when that seems to be happening, people adopt a restrictive idea of what life could be or should be. They find ways to sort of shut down and close in. And they do that in all sorts of creative ways. We're amazingly creative people when it comes to protecting ourselves. And it's a good thing because many people have needed a great deal of protection. Many people are born into situations and systems that render them less than, that render them judged as not good enough, or judged as too good, or judged as better than. All of those kinds of demarcations separate us and render us less engaged, less able to fully experience the gift. I can't fully experience the gift of life, which is a gift of love, if I'm seeing myself as better than those people around me, because I'm cutting off love. I cannot experience it if I'm seeing myself in a situation where I'm victimized, or where other people are better than me or smarter than I am or have more power or more freedom. Any of those kinds of alignments cut down on our ability to freely express life the way it is given and the way it's intended. If you grew up with not enough, or you have not enough in your life now, you fall into this hoarder mentality. Our whole economy, our world economy, is built on hoarding. On hoarding, I got it, because if I don't keep it, I might lose it, and you can't have it. And the more I can get, the more safe I am from losing it, and on it goes. And so there's a concentration of wealth and resources into one place or another. Speaking with someone this week who works in the center of all of this, and realizing and talking about the fact there's plenty of food for everyone on the planet. It's the distribution that's the problem. It's the system in which we share and experience and exchange values back and forth that's the problem, not the lack of food. So those kinds of things we are born into can appear to us as individuals and to the systems that we often work and live in to be limiting, restrictive, and giving life a less than free place to be. However, life, because you are hearing my words and because you are alive, that's evidence that it's been fully and freely given. It's all the evidence you need. You are alive. How do you know there's life? You're alive. How do you know there's God? You're alive. How do you know there's more to your experience than you already have done? There's a pumping inside of you, pushing you toward that more. You have a desire for it, or an aversion against others who have it, or all kinds of things that pop up and push on us from within to most freely and openly and fully express and experience life. The full gift that's been given already. Yeah. Because you see, it's not a commodity. You don't have to go get it from somewhere. No, someone else isn't hoarding your life. And you're not hoarding anyone else's or preventing them from it. You may have convinced them that you are, but you're not. Because in truth, you already have all of it. And the idea that someone can keep that from you or take it away from you is an illusion. and is a falsehood that we that has been perpetrated on humanity since humanity began to try to figure all this power and living stuff out. We've struggled with it for a long time. That's why the title for today is The Adventure of Life. You see, life is fully given already. And there is the adventure of life, because the adventure is, what do I do with it? Once I'm old enough to realize I got it, and once I perhaps have awakened enough in my spiritual development, my personal development, to realize that I have it and I may use it, and I have to find the systems and the ways to do that. Once I get all of that going and get all that in place, the fullness and the richness and the goodness of it is pretty amazing. And then it's the challenge. Well, what am I going to do with it? Adventure. We call it an adventure because it is. And some of us are adventurous, and more so seemingly, apparently, on the outside than others. But see, here's the problem with that word adventure. It pulls up this connotation. You know, you think of adventure movies where there's all this action and where there's great danger and where there are people's lives threatened and other people saving them, and back and forth it goes, and your adrenaline rushes, you know, higher and higher and higher until there's finally a resolution and you can relax and feel relieved. All that's kind of interesting. But that's only one small part of the word adventure. Because in the original Latin that the word adventure comes from, the meaning is to arrive. It is simply to arrive. To utilize your life in such a way that you arrive where you would most want to be. And then what goes with that is the idea that it takes the knowing in this teaching and living in this teaching and working in these ideas, the risk factor is highly reduced. Think about that a minute. It is an adventure to arrive. It is an arriving in life, an arriving at the place you want to go to. Why is there no risk? Why is the risk really eliminated if we fully understand what we're teaching here? If life is all given and you are a free expression of God moving through you, taking the truth that you speak, and if your experiences are a result of what you say about yourself, to yourself, and about the world, you can speak the word of safety. You can speak the word of care. You can speak the word of goodness, because we already know, science already shows us how much our word, our believed in word, our real word, not the word we would say in a, you know, at the United Nations perhaps, but where we would say it personally and individually within our hearts, that word you don't often share with other people. What you really know and believe there shows up in your life as your experience. It's really wonderful. And when that happens, if then you can create in your own belief system a belief that the adventure is easy and good and wonderful, that you are always protected, that you are always safe. You don't even need to be protected because you're safe. You're in a world that loves and welcomes you. Always. And you can give yourself 100% to that. There's no risk anymore. It's like knowing where the invisible bridge is in one of the adventure movies. You just know where it is because you know you're safe, and you step out and you live it. Still gets the adrenaline going sometime. So living the adventure of life is really living, is really saying yes within your own thinking to that which is pressing forward and wanting to express itself as you. Long before I got into this teaching, I heard a minister say that if you're really upset and jealous of somebody, look at their lives, because you probably want the same thing. If you're really upset and angry that someone has something and you don't, take a look in your own heart and mind and see if that isn't because there's a part of you that believes in that idea, that thing, that experience, and you really want it. And in this teaching, what we're suggesting in the teaching of oneness, that there, and if that is true and you can acknowledge that is my desire rather than resenting the person that has it, it is my desire to have and to be this. And I desire it enough that I'm willing to learn how to create it in my life. Then it can be yours. Because there's no other power holding against you or holding you back from that adventure of life. So if the adventure is you want greater love in your life, then be more loving. Then look for the things in your consciousness or in your mind or perhaps that old experience that says, don't trust love. Certainly don't trust people who love you or who might love you or could love you, because they're probably going to not love you well. Depending on what's in your history and your background and what of that history and background you have adopted into your way of thinking, you can block away parts of the gift of love, of life. If you want prosperity, do not get mad at people who are prosperous. Look at how to create a more balanced way for you to enjoy that prosperity with life, period. With them, perhaps. Because God itself, spirit itself, life itself is not trying to hold it back from you. The current systems that we live in are challenging in terms of everyone finding their own part and place. But because you can speak the word of God within you and with spirit within you, you can find your place in that in a wealthy and easy way. There are so many ways to live well and live easily that aren't about having millions of dollars or not having millions of dollars. It's getting very clear about what that wealth means for you and the freedom and all the goodness that comes with it that you would like to experience, and looking for those experiences. That's where the adventure comes, the adventure and the excitement of arriving toward that destination, that idea. You know, our theme this month is holy, holy. The holy, holy. W-H-O-L-Y and H-O-L-Y. Because in the teaching of oneness, everything in your life and mind that does not do harm to yourself, someone else, and brings greater living in life is holy. H-O-L-Y and W-H. O-L-L-E-Y, or however you spell it. I spell phonetically, so I make things up. Think about that for a minute. So the adventure is listening within, being quiet, saying yes to whatever is pressing to be expressed in life, as life experience, as you. No one else has your makeup. No one else is born when you were born, where you were born. No one has your genetics. No one else has anything like you. They have similarities, yes, definitely. But as far as being the same, absolutely not. People often puzzle how two kids in one family can be so different. But no two children are born into the same family. They're each born into different. One may have an older brother in that family, and the other may have a younger sister in that family. They're totally different families. They're totally different experiences of life. And yet, there's a tendency to compare between the two as if they should be the same. See, oneness is not about sameness. Oneness is about finding that uniqueness within you and expressing it openly and freely and beautifully. So our arriving, our adventure, is about arriving at the full experience of oneness, of unity with the infinite, as the infinite, through conscious participation in life, conscious participation in the oneness that life is. See, all of the universal, all the physical world, everything in it is evolving. You know, evolution did not stop when man showed up, or woman showed up, or humanity showed up. All of the species continue to evolve. Life is still growing and growing and unfolding and expressing more and more of the variety of what the infinite oneness could be. Our opportunity to do with that gift of life that's given to us is to live it 100% fully present in it. Because we have to be present to experience it enough to know how to use it. And whether your idea of the life adventure is one of doing like I love to do and traveling and going around the country and around the world and wherever the inner urge calls me to go and allows me to still serve and be present for people, whether I'm taking groups or whether I'm talking to groups, you know, or if that inner urge for growing is growing deeply with roots in one place, with roots with groups of people and building community in those places. I would like to admit, I admit right now in my life, that is becoming a greater and greater urge and calling. I've kind of done the other thing now, where I've run around all over the place. Now I'm putting in roots, putting down roots where I belong, near my family in Georgia, where I find communities, where people like the same kind of food, healthy food or not, where when we're talking, we sound a little bit more alike than different. And recognizing that there's great value there, as well as great value in seeing and hearing the different. It's not an either or, it's a both and. But wherever you fall in this idea of the adventure of life, the real adventure isn't about what you choose to do as far as running around the country or staying put. It's about what you choose to do inside, whether you choose to continue to grow in life and ideas and thoughts and newness of a possibility and bring it forward into your experience. The newness of going deeper and deeper into a relationship or into relationships. Not just newness found in finding brand new relationships all the time. Either one is a growth of newness and a growth of possibility and an openness to greater love, to greater kindness, to greater goodness. You get to choose. See, the gift is given completely, 100%. And you get to use it. And you get to choose how to use it. So in wrapping up, let me say that probably one of the most important things we can do is investigate within ourselves what, if anything, is holding us back from life. Are there fears or failures, or so-called failures, or fear of failure that's happened to you now or in the past or at times before? You know, a failure in an adventure or in an approach to something is just an indicator that there's something more for you to know and to learn. But if there's fear that's holding you back, if there's voices in your own thinking and consciousness that says, whoa, ho, if there's a need to go numb in order to experience anything, an addiction, drugs, if you're bored with being in the isolation of COVID to the point that you become addicted to television and that's all you want to do now, you're going to have to step back and feel the life that's trying to push its way out in you enough to allow that to happen, to turn off the television or turn off whatever your diversionary don't be engaged in life choices have become. We spend time in the silence. We listen. And then we step out. We step out, we take the risk, we take the challenge, and we move forward. See, the life adventure unfolds through the divine urge within you. And it calls us, it's inherently calling you to something. As simple as getting outside and walking around, or as profound as changing the world in some way or another. Perhaps marching for a cause, perhaps standing up for a people, perhaps exploring your own biases enough to change them, to release them, or at least to know that they're there and guard against them. There's so much being challenged right now about the ways that life has been limited by the way we work together as a people. You have the opportunity to charge down any of those lanes that you feel called to rectify, to see, to know as one. Or another way of putting it, that I actually like a lot, this is from 1897, an anonymous poem writing that says, life is not a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside, thoroughly used up and totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, wow, what a ride. That's what you deserve to live, because you've already got the life, the gift. And so it is. Join me, if you will, now for a few moments of quiet, a few moments of meditation, to listen inside and just ask the question right now. What is life trying to give me that I've been unwilling to accept? As I settle into this awareness that God is all there is, that my mind, my spirit is the avenue through which God speaks, is the avenue through which God reveals itself to me, it is the avenue in which it speaks itself. I am. I'm the place where the infinite is. I'm the place where the infinite lives as. And so I ask to have revealed to me in my own consciousness the answer to that question of what is life or God offering me, wanting to give me. That I am resisting, afraid of, or in some way thinking would not be good for me, would not serve me. And in this place of infinite awareness, I release the idea that the infinite could offer me anything that would be any less than good, and very good and greater good, that could do anything less than bring me joy and freedom and love and power and life. Power to live my life with ease and freedom. And so I stand in that truth. I stand in the celebration as life itself is showing up as me. It is pressing through me into greater experience and greater expression. And that alone is an adventure. And it's all the adventure I need. It is vouchsafe with its full expression. And I just get to say yes. And I embrace life. I embrace these ideas that are popping up in my mind right now. I take them for myself. And I look to see, how is Spirit going to bring this about this time? I trust it. Because I trust myself. I let it be the truth for me. And so it is. Thank you. This time we want to hear from one of our board members and a team member that makes this production go so sweet and so smooth every week, Vance Blue.
Morning, everybody. And that's my opportunity to talk about prosperity, our abundance, our giving, living life, being present, fully in, engaged in this life that we're living. And Bob's message was so point on this morning, noticing the distractions that we get involved in on a daily basis, TV, books, media, checking out, whatever it is. But being present here every Sunday morning, being alive, learning more, is just awesome. So with that, I know for myself, giving and being part and being spiritually fed from this community, with this community, is something that I really cherish and give to. So if you feel that same way with yourselves, I know we have a bunch of dedicated people supporting this center, this message that's going out to the world, please also consider donating to us. And with that, let's go through our affirmation of prosperity, which is on the screen right now. Say it with me. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And that little QR code that showed up is a way to give. So if you hold your camera over that, it'll take you to the link right directly to our donation site. And we've also got some announcements for this week. The month of May is Holy, Holy Uprising. And next Sunday, Reverend Bob's going to be back with Revolutionary Love for Mother's Day. It's going to be a good talk. And today, afterwards, is the first, it's the first Sunday of the month, so we celebrate birthdays of anybody. So if that's you, or you're just interested in saying happy birthday to anybody that's got a birthday, jump on the Zoom afterwards with us if you're on another platform. That would be fantastic. Tuesdays, we've got from 12 to 12:30 a kind of a midlife, midweek spiritual empowerment session. Just get together. Wisdom Wednesdays, the worlds of consciousness. We're on week three. World three, the spiritual world, this coming Wednesday, May 5th. So come join us from 7 to 8 for that. That talk, that concept of the four worlds and our consciousness related to that is really interesting. Share the broadcast on Facebook, share who we are out in the world. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Get that. We can get that out to the world as well. And we've got a Sunday morning discussion group, which is on the Zoom at 10 a.m. So before the service, come discuss that. They're discussing the 365 Science of Mind, A Year of Daily Wisdom by Ernest Holmes, which is a fantastic book. I read that every day. And it's a good way to start your morning if that's your spiritual practice. And if you've got anything going on in your life that you think you need help with that you can't handle by yourself, through your own prayer treatment, your own consciousness of what you need, we have practitioners available ready to help. So reach out to them. They're on the there's a prayer request, so you can do it anonymously, or you can reach out directly to one of them on the website. So that's it for the announcements for this week. Back to Reverend Bob.
And so in closing, I would like to invite you to join me in sharing together our affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. See you all next week.